Hello all, welcome to the Lunar Sea Spire Cartoon Fan Podcast. This is episode 499, and today we'll be talking about Weather Your Weather from Summer Camp Island. I'm GC13.
And I'm David.
This is a potent mix of cartoons I'm on right now. I've obviously just watched Weather Your Weather again to discuss it for the podcast, but I do this immediately after having watched Come Along With Me from Adventure Time for the very first time. I am in a very wistful mood right now, David.
Yeah, the time adventure really keeps going, doesn't it? I love that you just watched that because Summer Camp Island is not derived from, but in many ways is inspired by and is a continuation of the ethos of Adventure Time's sort of way of storytelling.
You know, throw stuff out there, figure it out as you move along.
Exactly. And not that this is too special for shows, but, you know, having that expanded cast that all is off doing their own thing. And I think that it's very appropriate that you've just watched both. But wow, what different circumstances we're under. This is a very personal conclusion for Susie here. This is an extremely intimate moment that gets created both between, well, several actually, between Oscar and Susie, and then also between Mildred and Susie. It's a lot.
I liked Mildred and Hedgehog. You two don't spend a lot of time apart, do you?
Historically, no. Hedgehog and Oscar don't.
I love that. I should have checked his laces, darn it.
It's still, that has never changed, right? There's been this exploration of, they're not really codependent on each other at all, but they certainly are best buds in a way that is quite rare. I love that it's still brought up here for the viewer to think of one more time and reflect the journey.
Did you like that Hedgehog and Mildred are both barefoot and Oscar is the only one wearing shoes?
For once, that actually hurts him. But not really, because it does seem there's some glowworm magic left leading him into the therapy room with Susie.
Mm-hmm. He did so much better as a glowworm with Susie this time. He really stepped into that therapist role, and he took care of Susie's emotions, and he bellhopped his way into her heart and helped her face that thing.
His physical comedy is so on point. The 2-foot phone routine, hilarious.
I don't know, that's a little disturbing to watch, if I'm being real.
I enjoyed seeing Susie actually break down, laugh, and cry. Very reminiscent of Steven Universe Futures ending as well. So, lots of laughing and crying. It's always good to see a good catharsis. But I enjoyed Oscar's bellhop miming routine. This is clearly something he has perfected.
Oh, his mime game is on point. He must have studied with like that same summer school teacher that Enid had or something. He is amazing.
Okay, KO reference. It's an amazing show. Everyone watched it, right? Everyone who listened to this podcast knows who Enid is. Thank you. Thank you all.
Definitely. That's a season 2 time skip, if ever I've seen one. But really neither here nor there. I liked how when Susie almost had to face that moment alone, but like she said, she's too scared of it. She's been running from her baggage, so she managed to break away and hide in the one place she's never ever been in her life, a therapist's office.
Nope. She's very uncomfortable with feelings. That's extremely consistent for her. It also kind of proves out that, you know, this person who is uncomfortable with dealing with their feelings doesn't understand what their feeling is. And they think that their baggage of the past 400 years has been coming after them. But in reality, Susie's been dealing with one day, right? Just one day of pain that, you know, isn't the cause of everything, isn't the root of everything. She's not a bad sister. This isn't some major thing. This isn't, you know, she Walter White'd herself into complete tragedy. But there was one day that she never got to recognize with her sister and apologize for. And Oscar has a very smart moment where he can identify for Susie, mm-hmm. hey, this thing you're feeling is feeling sorry. You know, you feel sorry. That's a good sign.
Yeah, that means you're not bad. Like, she never became bad. This was just a day where it all went wrong. And had there not been other factors that went on, this would have just been a minor speed bump rather than the single day that defined the trajectory of both her and Mildred's lives.
And now she knows. Or at least she does get this moment.
And knowing is half the battle.
And Oscar does it in a purely observational way. So there's a ton of things to unpack here. Maybe if you're someone who grows up watching Summer Camp Island and maybe can reflect on the finale again when your high school teacher makes you write an essay about it, not using ChatGPT. Maybe you can get something out of this moment and remember it again. Because it really is just a few critical things. A few critical things that you don't necessarily learn when you're a kid. And so maybe when you're an adult, it's good to watch this again and think, hey, what does it mean to be a bellhop in someone's emotional journey? And what does it mean to accept that you have feelings? Maybe it means you're going to put on pajamas, like Oscar suggests.
Yep, laugh, cry, whatever it takes.
And then just let the tornado pick you up for a moment, however that allegory works.
Yeah, I'm not sure if... I think the metaphor might break down.
Yes.
You know, I think Oscar was the perfect therapist for Susie there. I don't think even Shark could have done that better. He's got a little bit of a short patience sometimes. Maybe Oscar just brings that out in people.
Was Shark magical? Is this why Shark isn't there?
He must have been purely magical, otherwise we'd see something there, like... I think he just disappeared into thin air like the monsters did.
Is it bad I want a therapist to be one of the magical beings just on its own? I don't know. Either therapist or shark, both hilarious if those are the magical category of him.
But we continue to see magical things crop up in a world without magic. The tornado is still there, Ghost the Boy is still there, and now that magical barrier between the pool and the therapy room is there as well.
Oh my gosh, that is a good catch.
And the hatch up to the diamond goes down both ways.
Now I wonder if metaphysical structures still remain without magic. Who knows? Maybe, I mean, because those are both actually, strangely enough, physically related in that regard.
We'll get to him next week, but there's also a major magical being still flying around. I think there are sources of magic other than the diamond out there. I think that's pretty obvious.
And it's always been unclear to me exactly how glowworms are magical anyway in the first place. So if Oscar's demonstration here isn't a demonstration that he's still a glowworm, then I don't know what is.
I mean, he's got that big glowworm energy. He may not bring, like, literal magical ability to, you know, affect the physical world with rhymed incantations. But he's still bringing those good vibes that, were the diamond still active, would be very, very necessary to a magical world.
And speaking of that diamond, I mean, there's plenty more to talk about in this episode. You know, sure, we could talk about how Oscar was barely right in the bear left that he took. But, okay, why on earth did Summer Camp Island destroy the magic? What a funny thing to decide to make the final episode about. Who could have seen this coming? Surely no one saw Susie turning off magic as one of the, you know, conclusions to magic. Much less the fact that the diamond was destroyed. The whole underlying subplot that maybe there were two best friends who were going to save magic, and we see this problem with time with Susie and Ramona, and then, you know, we learn of the prophecy, and maybe Oscar and Hedgehog are going to play a part in it, but this, none of this makes
completely
any sense.
Out of left field. This was a
completely out of bear left.
This was a very well-done twist. Yep. Stage left, bear right, you know, whichever you prefer. But Yeah, I don't think that Susie breaking the diamond is that big a deal. I think it was completely inert. I don't think there was anything they could have done about it anyway.
Well, you sure seem to know a lot about the diamond that, for no good reason, Susie had complete control over in the first place. At least to turn it off.
I wouldn't say complete control. Like, you convinced me when we talked about that episode. I went back and I watched her facial expressions after that. Yeah, she was a little terrified about what she had just done there. It's like, man, I hope that what I just did worked.
It's just funny that at some point she must be a little bit of a scholar and have spent time learning that some of these things were possible.
Somebody made those maps of the island.
That's a good point.
Hedgehog called it an encyclopedic knowledge of the island. She might be the one who drew those maps. She can be practical when she wants to be.
Including building metal tunnels from the library to... Well, eventually they weren't metal tunnels.
Nah, it was probably the aliens.
Yeah.
I mean, they did some impressive work on the cabins. I think they had a tunnel crew.
Yeah, that makes sense. That would also, there's another theory that they made the map and it's kind of garbage. Mm. Handed it to Susie, like, here's where everything is. Good luck with that.
True. No, actually, true.
It looked complicated to me, but clearly Hedgehog navigated with it no problem.
Yeah, it makes sense to Hedgehog. She's able to find that secret tunnel, and she's able to follow the map to get to the diamond, and Susie said, they're going to the central switch for all magic. I know where that goes. So, Hedgehog was definitely following clues and not lucking into it, but I do wonder if there was some force of luck or something that diverted Oscar and had him just happen to end up in the therapy room where Susie was gonna be. It's very convenient otherwise, and like I said, we know there is more magic at play out there, so... might Oscar's steps have been guided? Perhaps even somebody pulled on one of his laces, so to speak.
Of course, we do hear, at the very end of this episode, the voice of what we can only presume to be another magical being. A magical being mm-hmm. that I'm not sure if we already heard the voice of up to this point in the show. Maybe not.
I don't think so, because this was the only season where he's existed, in this way, anyway.
Yes, so that shows there's plenty of magic things still happening, so who knows?
Now, like I said, we're talking about our mystery voice, and, I've said it for several episodes, but man, they know how to end on a cliffhanger, don't they?
They can't actually stop themselves from ending on cliffhangers here. If only this had aired in a different... way of premiering Summer Camp Island. If I you don't know how different people are watching the show and listening to this podcast, but this final season was eventually broadcast on Cartoon Network outside the US first, and it was an HBO Max, later renamed Max original, for most of its life, maybe starting in the third season. So yeah, this final season really had a broken up, strange airing, which is funny because it seems designed to keep you going week to week if this was a weekly airing schedule.
Yeah, if this had been going week to week, there would have been so much hype after so many of these episodes, like, ripe for discussion. Oh, I would have loved to be podcasting after each of these episodes, speculating like a madman. Oh, I would have brought my Ronaldo out. I would have even gone and got a Ronaldo shirt to celebrate.
Don't even remind me about how exciting during Steven Universe those Steven bombs were. There has to be a moment again where someone in the streaming world decides to do some events like that. It just generates so much discussion, and that is the most fun. That is just the most fun to have online, to find the community of people who are talking about the thing you like. And then having a reason to talk about it every
yep.
6 months.
Geek out about it with them. It's excellent.
Yeah. But here we are still trying to generate a little bit of that. For Summer Camp Island and for all these other shows where the ecosystem's so much more different.
It was a beautiful show. And I know we got to the discussion a little bit late. But hopefully the show will always be there, although you never can tell with mechs these days. I'm like, get out there, watch it, it's beautiful.
Things like Summer Camp Island is, and this is us just not talking about Weather Your Weather right now, but, you know, we gotta reminisce as we come to the end here. It really does make me want that physical media more, even though DVDs and everything else fades and we die and whatever. But, you know, it's just nice to think that there could be a record of this show that isn't just controlled by the whims of licensing and whether certain content is kept because maybe you want a tax break or not. You know, streaming's very confusing. Even just being able to buy it digitally is a rare treat sometimes. Like, this show is purchasable on a few digital purchasing platforms. You can't even do that for shows like She-Ra. Or at least, it depends on what show you're watching. If you are watching She-Ra, DreamWorks maybe owns more of the first three seasons, so you can buy those digitally. But if you want to own specifically season 5 digitally, take a hike. You're gonna have to watch it on Netflix only. And is there a single person you can ask why that's the case? No, there isn't. If you can find them, though, on the internet and find out the answer to that, and then maybe also make them reverse that decision so that I can own that show, please do. Oh, by the way, you can also buy the first three seasons on DVD, too, because that's not torture for She-Ra fans. So anyway...
I like that you mention liking something being torture, because... we come to the part of the episode where it's time to mention Pepper. Now, Susie has just flat out rejected him, like utter apathy towards his feelings towards her. But when asked, hey, Pepper, I need you to go cry for my parents, it's for Susie. He's like, anything for Susie.
Oh my gosh. I'm glad they actually restrained themselves too from making Pepper wink to the people escaping off camera. He does his little act and he looks off, but it's not more played up than that.
He's looking to make sure they're leaving. He's not like, yeah, I got this. It's a more restrained Pepper.
Definitely. It's funny how functional he is this season, as far as he has his thing with Susie that really develops, but we just use him to get Mildred asleep and to generally just take his sycophancy for for Susie and just turn it into good old-fashioned work. So, that's nice.
I can't believe they used my likeness in a cartoon like this. It's insulting. And also a magnificent capture.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, if we were still doing more, or if you were still doing more YouTube video content, I'm sure it would have just devolved completely into Susie. Actually, I'm sure that's the wall you hit at some point. You were looking at just the next 30 scripts of Susie content and thinking, you know, this belongs somewhere else.
Remember shrines back in the day on the internet?
I mean, listen to our Lunacy Spire podcast episodes every now and then. You gotta hear your own voice cringe and just reflect on it. But, you know, I brought up Hey Arnold last week. I'm going to bring it up again. The Helga shrine of Arnold, that is you and Susie. I think I could see the exact same effigy. Maybe a little. Well, hers were pretty extreme.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, that's it for us on Weather Your Weather. Join us next week for the exciting conclusion of Summer Camp Island. Until then, though, I'm GC13.
And I'm David. Don't forget to leave us a review anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Later, everybody. Our opening and closing music is by Mark Soto. For more cartoon-related content, please visit LunarSeaspire.com.